Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of Optimize Your Life on the Blog Talk Radio Show. It's 12 o'clock Eastern Time. My name is Ron Clayton, and I'm sitting in for our Monday host. Kurt Orlinghaus's mom is having surgery on her knee, and so he's in a hospital. A little bit difficult for him to be able to bring the show on today. So I'm going to welcome everyone as we're opening up the show. I am Ron Clayton, as I mentioned. I am the president of the Hope Collection. And we'll wait a couple minutes because I know I'm expecting a couple more guests to be joining the show. And what we'll do is we'll say hello at the same time. And good morning, Mary. Glad you're here. And so in a few moments, we'll just get things rolling. I hope everyone had a magnificent Sunday. It was here in Buffalo where I live. It was gorgeous. And we got a chance to do a lot of nice things until yesterday night. Last night, the clouds opened up. And we had a downpour, but then we need it. So my grass was brown, and now what will happen is we'll have to have it cut two or three times this week because it will grow like crazy. Anyways, I hope all of you are doing well, and we start out the week. Monday has generally been labeled as the life coach day, where we have life coaches of different backgrounds that come on board as hosts of the show. And like I said, Kurt Orlinghaus normally is handling it. He asked me if I'd step in today. And I just recognize a couple people, although I've got a dashboard with lots of people here. Hello, I know this is Gavin Johns, the true, wonderful athletic winner that he is joining us, I think, from Kentucky. Is that you, Gavin?
Yes. Yes, Ron. How are we doing today?
We're doing
I'm in New York right now. I just got to I'm actually in New Jersey, but we're playing in New York tomorrow. We got a game tomorrow night in Staten Island.
All right. I know where that's at. Spent some time down that way. I was a national sales manager for a plastics company for many years, and I would travel down to New York and the different boroughs and spend time out on the island, as well as downtown and Staten Island manufacturing facilities. It's a big area, lots of people, you know, and then lots of people that love sports. So we'll kind of get into that in just a moment. Like I said, I'm just waiting a couple more minutes to see who else has joined us. I know one person we've got. Her name is Mary. I recognize her area code. Good afternoon, Mary. How are you today?
Great. How about you?
Fantastic, thank you. I trust you had a wonderful weekend.
Always. You know, it rained, which is good, because my husband got to figure out he finally fixed a hole in the roof.
Oh, well, that's a good reason to get something done. You know, when you have a hole in the roof, the idea is to fix it. Fill it in and stop it. Well, you know, it's like a hole in a boat.
You know, he kept patching it, never quite got that spot. He finally just said, screw it, and just got the whole area, and he finally got a fix.
You know, it's funny, as you mentioned there, one time I replaced, when I was a young man, that is a young man's job, I replaced the whole roof. We had a 3,700-square-foot ranch home, and it had three layers, and it was shot. I bought the house. I got a great deal. In fact, at the closing of the house, I negotiated with the owner, and I said, well, I'm only going to sign this if you do this, this, and this. And he said, no. So my wife was with me, Linda, and we went on. I said, well, okay. So, well, we'll think about it. I started heading to the car. Now, as we got in the car, my wife, tears are down her eyes, and Jan, the gal that we were buying, her husband that we're buying the house from directly, she's crying. They're both all of a sudden, Joe and I, he's a used car salesman. Now, I'm a national sales manager, and I've actually signed $27 million contracts. No one's going to put anything over me. So I said, well, you really, you know, he comes out to the car because we're about to put in drive and leave. Don't think I didn't know what I was doing. And he says, you know, I think maybe we can negotiate something on this roof. I said, well, I am at least open to listening. So he proposed and gave us $20,000 off the price of the house to get the roof placed. 3 years later, I finally got to go up on the roof and tear it. That is a young man's job, and I'll tell you what, I never want to do it again, or I won't.
Hi, Ron.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You don't even want to do it. You'll tear your rotator cuff, Gavin. You don't want to do that. It's a bad job. But here's the thing. When we got the roof torn out, I started the day. Derek, I'm shutting your microphone off because there's too much noise in the background. I started doing that roof in May, and in Thanksgiving, I was putting the final shingles on the roof, and it was a major job. But the point I want to make is that what we do in life is sometimes we're doing little patches here and there, and we never find the cause. And, you know, Mary, life coaching is all about finding the cause and then helping to relieve the issue. And so I know it's a big part of life coaching, and the ability to be certified in specific areas of life coaching. You could be a life coach for roofers. You know, there's a lot of people who want to know about roofs because there's a lot of them.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, who's that?
It's Kimberly.
Is it Kimberly in the call? Well, good afternoon.
Yes,
someone else has just joined us, everybody. Her name is Kimberly Slew. She is a dynamic young woman from Buffalo, New York. And we welcome her to the call. I think this is her first Optimize Your Life show. If I'm not, am I correct in that, Kimberly?
You are correct, Ron.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us. I just started discussing some stories. Mary, who's on the call, she is a certified in multiple areas life coach, and she has some specialties dealing with special needs children and helping them and getting solutions to different issues that a parent, mom and dad might be dealing with, or a family. She is involved in helping people to get on the road to recovery from issues, and she on Wednesday is on the show, the noon blog radio show called Optimize Your Life, and she's here today too. Kimberly, we got an all-pro baseball player here with us, calling us from New York, Staten Island today. He normally hails from West Coast, but he's playing out of Kentucky. And we welcome him also, and his name is Gavin Johns, and we're getting to know him. And he has an incredible heart, an incredible sense of being in this world and making it a better place. So he's joined us. And today we're going to continue on. I wanted to touch base with everybody that's here today on a little something that we're particularly proud. Many of you know that the founder of the Hope Collection, my best friend of 40 years, my best business partner or spiritual guidance, he succumbed to cancer after a long bout. And so we a year ago, we spent some time celebrating his life. And in honor of that, we've been working to resurrect, extend, and take the Hope Collection, the 501c3 that he founded, taking it to new levels. One of the specific areas that had to be in his bed had to be fixed because everything was in Joel's name. I mean, he founded the 501c3 10 years ago, and the Hope Collection, he found, I don't know, I want to go back. The Hope Collection has been around for about 15 years. And I was the original president, and then I stepped out for a few years. And when Joel passed away, his wife, who's an artist, is now the certified owner of the Hope Collection, representative to the 501c3 government certification. She asked me if I would step back in and kind of steer the ship. And then nobody else wanted it. I know that's why they elected me the president. But anyways, what we're doing now is we're moving forward with the presence of the website. And I do have the honor and the respect to share with you a person who has incredible talent that in communicating and utilizing the websites and the internet, Beth Kimberly, who's on the phone today for the first time with us. And I told her I was going to do this. She didn't think I was going to. But I told her I was going to do it. So So it's not my fault you came on. But I hope that you all keep in mind the work that she's doing to take a Hope Collection at 9 websites, engines and programs and different avenues and representations. Many people say when you have a website, you got a landing page. Well, we had 9. And all the code to write that and to have that in its presence was written in multiple languages or codes. And she's been working with the former website manager to reorganize them, update them, and get it so we can have our site professional and running going forward. And I would just tell you, I don't know anything about doing that. But Kimberly does, and she's just doing an incredible job for us. If you were to go out in the open marketplace just to do what she's done in the last couple of weeks, minimally you couldn't contract the company for less than $10,000 to do it. But Kimberly, who has we met through a gentleman named Dale Martin, who owns a company called Western New York Works, and we had a networking business, and he does. And Kimberly came as a partner in that organization, and she's come and kind of joined us to help the Hope Collection move forward. So I know I'm running off my mouth here this morning. Let's get back to what I want to talk about. At the Hope Collection, there's several categories that we operate in. We call them pillars. One is faith, family, housing, education, the arts, health and wellness, water and energy. Now, under the education part of our program, we provide connections, services, companies, and people to link you to and link others to get things, to get solutions. My name, my personal business is RCLC Solutions Incorporated. And under that umbrella, we have various businesses. I have a travel agency. I have a nutrition business. I've got a consulting business, a life coaching business. I've got a printing business. I mean, Joel taught me that you don't go get one job. You get multiple streams of income. Well, that's because, as you saw in the last 2 years, if you don't have multiple streams of income, when the government or bureaucrats decide to cut your business or your job or anything off, you can be in deep trouble real quick. So I won't go any farther than that to stay out of politics, but I want you to know one of the things, a tool that the Hope Collection brings to the table through the education arm of the Hope Collection is a site called Expert Rating. EXPERT rating, RATING. And what this is an online certification, accreditation for, well, we've got 13,000 different areas that somebody can click on and get certified. And what that means is that you get recognized by an organization that gives you an ISO 9000 accepted, recognized certification. And what they do, they have courses that are, well, let's put it this way. Most people think to get an education, you got to go get to a school, two-year, four-year school, whatever, graduate school, all these things, pay tens of thousands of dollars, sometimes move out, sometimes stay at home in the basement. Then you got to buy all your books, and then you got to plan on spending a good deal at the school and a good deal away from home and a good deal studying. And when you get done after 4 years or so and you're $100,000 in debt, then you got to go look for a job. No, you don't have to do any of that. You can get the education. How about in an area that you have choice, that you have desire to be effective in, and you go to the expert rating, and you can get those certifications. The courses run around anywhere as little as $50, maybe $120, $150 at the most. And I'm going to use an example. One of our members of the board of the Hope Collection, he's a treasurer named Rick Reese. His daughter had a college education, and she's been trying to get a job for a while. She decided to take some expert rating courses. One of them was in logistics. The other one was logistics management. After the same time she had sending out resumes, She added those certifications to her resume. Within a week, she got called by one of the top defense contractors in the United States. Maybe you've heard of Northrop Grumman. They build airplanes, ships. They've been in the world, say, being part of America and our defenses for years. They built the B-1 bomber. They built, you know, the Black Widow, the first stealth plane, the fastest plane in the world. Well, she got a job with them, elevated. She just moved out of the house, by the way, because they starting salary on her job. You wouldn't believe what, and he does the words that Rick uses. You would not believe how much money she got a starting job with her qualifications and her certifications. That's what sort of expert rating can do for you. Well, that's kind of a consulting thing that anybody that's on the call today, we want you to know that we have these things available to you to take advantage of. And I've seen other cases where a person got expert rating. We have one program. If you want to become someone who has an influence in general to be able to help people and have a certification that you use guidelines that are both common sense, integrity, and help with a heart, we have a program called Life Coaching. And for, I think it's $100, you can go on, sign up, take the course, become a certified life coach in an area that's, it's an introduction to being a life coach, but it connects you so that you can be an advisor to people. You can charge for your services. You can make an income. The average income of a certified life coach that is practicing and has a cadre of customers is about $75,000 a year. I don't know if I got anybody's attention yet, but if anybody, I just want to share that with you, that's why I wanted to bring to you this. This is one of our services that we connect people to. And because Kimberly worked so hard to get our website up and running properly, you now can go to our site and go to life coaching and go to, we have a life coaching, not life coaching, it's the coach's corner that you can go and get connected to expert rating and follow through and pursue getting the information you need and get started in that area. So I've run off my mouth now for what, 15 minutes? Why don't I just kind of open the door, because there's so many folks that have called in today, and I'd just like to hear some feedback. Is there anything in particular that I said that has caused you to kind of have some curiosity or would like some more information? Oh, bored everybody to death.
Not at all. I'm just checking out the grocery store, and then I can chime in, talk in about 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you for being courteous, Mary. I appreciate that. Well, guys, I'd like to continue this on that, you know, under our Coach's Corner, we have actual listed companies, one of which you can get a coach. First of all, there's a very basic goal-setting program that's available. It's free, and you can register. And that one, you can choose finances, career, hobbies, weight loss. I mean, you can choose several areas that you want to follow a goal-setting plan. And it's online, and it's ask you questions. You say what you want to do, what do you want to accomplish. And it's real important finding out what you want to accomplish. For most people, what do you want to accomplish is a real hard thing. I do know this. Is in the 40 years that I've been involved in the Hope Collection with Joel Griffin and the business that he established in helping people, one thing I know that is in common with most people, they have a hard time kind of getting their handle on what is they want to accomplish. That goes back to, I think, something that's absolutely crucial the whole process of wherever you're at in life, whether you have your education already is, and the experiences that you've had, we have available to you is a way to go get to the place where you want to, you know, to choose where you want to go to from where you're at. So I'm putting folks on muting this phone so they can still listen in, but I muted it for a few minutes because there was so much background information. Well, guys, if you don't know what you really want to accomplish, it may be because you don't really know or you haven't identified your gifts. Identifying the gifts that you have been blessed with is absolutely crucial to finding what you want to do. Most people find out what I want to do and then go figure out what their gifts are, and it does backwards. See, if you know what your gifts are, what God has blessed you to be able to utilize to glorify Him, I believe in my heart that we were created to honor and bless God. That's what I live in, my world. I hope you feel the same way, that my world is about to always bring honor and glory to God. Well, to do that, you got to know what God has put in you so you know how to get it out. And that's pretty basic. But most people, that's never anything I learned in school. I don't even think I learned that much in church. They talked about it, but they never really. Now, at least once a year, the pastor did a sermon on gifts. And whether you know how to make make wine, use the wine press to make wine, or you know how to plant some wheat and grow it, or you know, there's a stone cutter. But the stone cutter, that's most of the talent that the preacher identifies. But everybody on this call and everybody around us, we all have unique skills and attributes and passions. Now, if a person takes time and they study, and it's not something you flip on a switch and you go, oh, yeah, I wake up and I know what it is. It really does take some reflection. It might be with an advisor, a person you trust. It might be your pastor. It might be just someone, like I say, you know, and that you know has, if they've succeeded in an area that is appealing to you, you should talk with them. You should make an appointment or sit down and say, talk and find out what drives them. And in doing that, then you can identify and clarify might really be something that you could maximize to make a difference, maybe create a career. You know, I found out early, my wife and I, we learned that we had a gift of hospitality. Now, I tell you that, and in joking, I always say we've built some teams all over the world. I got an organization in Spain. It's done $25,000 a month of business. Got an organization in the Philippines that does pretty well, too. Now, they're both going and operating wonderfully, and they have a group of leaders, and they succeeded without me in spite of me. I'm not going to go and mess it up. It's doing well without me. They don't need me. But I also worked with some folks in Canada that they need some guidance, and they've asked for it. I'm not trying to be Socrates. And does everybody know who Socrates was? He was a guy that went around giving good advice to people. You know what? They poisoned him. Because what's missing in the formula was he gave the good advice, but they didn't ask for it.
I'm going to interrupt you one quick second. Here's the cool thing about Socrates. Norway is on the cutting edge when it comes to autism research and autism, like dealing with it and eliminating it. And they actually, their foundation is based off of the teachings of Socrates. It's just slowing down. And it works. I built my program on it and just doing things to their level and treating them like a regular child. But it's, you know, you think about these ancient philosophers that didn't know what it was back then. But they were way beyond their time and what they knew.
That's true. Well, thank goodness they still were here and they made an influence to move society or individuals forward. I hope that today what we're doing in the show is just opening thought and opening perhaps someone that might be in questioning mode, you know. Am I where I should, am I where I'm supposed to be? Sometimes people are doing that and they've been working a job for 20 years and they say, the biggest thing is most times they say, I don't like what I'm doing. In fact, I hate it. What would you do if you weren't doing this? And I was talking to one lady and she said, I love making greeting cards for people. I love doing something I could send a message. And then I was talking to this gal, found out she had a dream. She saw a commercial that was for a company that makes this machine called a Cricut. And it die cuts and cuts out. There's a little cassette you put in it. And it cuts out and it makes and writes up cards, greeting cards. And then it prints out sayings, you know, hi, happy birthday, hope you have a great day, or you're my best friend, but I'm mad at you, or, you know, whatever you want to say in it. But you can create these cards, and this gal has wanted this machine for several years, and when they came out, they were $400. She lives in Canada, and she was talking about it. I was there, we happened to be at some friend's house that was having a wedding anniversary, and we're chatting, and she's telling me the story, and I said, well, let me ask you something. And that's when I found out. She told me, well, it's $400, and, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be able to accumulate the money to have that. And, well, it just so happens, 4 years ago, my wife, Linda, had cancer, and she was at home recovering and stuff, and she loves to do the same thing. And my wife has the original Cricut. And so when the new one came out, and it's advanced, and now it's cut out images, it does printing and color and all this, we bought one. And I want you to know, as I'm sitting here right now, she has never used it. She's never figured out how to use it. It's 15 feet from where I'm sitting in my living room. And I'm listening to this gal talking to her, named Sarah, and Sarah's telling me all about this Cricut that she's seen, that someday she must be able to get one. So I'm sitting here, and my wife is across the room, and later we came over, and then Sarah was on something else, and I'm with some other people. I said, hey, honey, you know we've got that Cricut sitting in your office? Yeah, she goes, I haven't touched it in 2 years. We're just tripping over it. I said, I know somebody that could use that, would be just so full of joy if she could have one. And her job got eliminated because of COVID in the Canada. They live in Canada, and the government shut all kinds of stuff down. And her job was eliminated. And she could do this, and she could create a new a business from it and sell her cards. And she would just love to do that. There was no thought. One of goes, well, why don't we give it to her? Well, I turned around and I went right across the room and I said, Sarah, what do you think if when we come in Canada next time, we brought with us that Cricut that you were looking and dreaming about? She said, but I can't pay you. And I looked at her and I said, I know you can't. I'm not asking you to pay me. We got one, we're not using it, and it's going to waste, but you got the talent, and you could use it. I know her parents. We sure as heck would help her. You would do the same thing. So we've already made the arrangements, and I can just tell you, she is thrilled. She can't wait till we can get the unit back up to Canada. So we'll be going back in a couple of weeks, and we'll take it up with us, and we'll meet, and we'll... Well, it's got all the pieces, the equipment, and everything to run it, and she'll be able to show her at least how to get started. Sarah already knows how to use it. Now, tell me that one isn't a blessing for someone. I'm not bragging on us. I'm saying you would do the same thing for that individual. But how many people in our lives could we be? Yeah, how many people in our lives could we be that kind of a blessing to? And it may not be as elaborate as having a die cutting machine, but I'm sure we have things that we can share to help somebody out. And that's what this show is all about, being a servant leader. Our theme is helping others by helping them help others. And today I hope I'm an encouragement. I hope I'm opening the door for people to look at finding ways to make a difference in this world. What do you think about that?
You know, a lot of times, too, you figure out your gifts or what, where you should be based on the adversities you have in your life. You know, like, for example, with me, my life was planned out. I was supposed to be career military. I had no plan B. And when I ended up being medically discharged out and having two kids with special needs, that showed me the path I needed to take to help others in areas like where I live where there isn't any help. There isn't anything available.
Well, Gavin, can I ask you, how does that strike you, Gavin?
What was that? Can you say that again, please, Ron?
I just said, how is that idea? How does what I've just shared in the last few minutes, how does that strike you?
About helping others?
Your noise in the background is not acceptable.
Ron, about helping others?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one of my principals growing up in school, in middle school actually, she had a saying. It was, take a second, make a difference. I think that really simplified it for me. And you know, I think, you know, we all want to do some good in this world, you know, and I think it starts with just each moment, you know, just trying to make the world a better place, you know, whether it's picking up trash or whether it's calling a friend and checking in on them or you know, helping open a door for someone, you know, just the small things, I think, amount to bigger things, you know, and you know, I think we can all agree that when someone does something nice for us, it makes us feel good, you know, and if more people did that, then we'd have more positivity spread around the world, you know, and it's not by, you know, conquering something huge, you know, out of proportion or massive. It's just the, you know, those small things that can really change someone's life, you know, and especially as believers, you know, that's what we're called to do. You know, that's what Jesus did. He led by serving and putting others before ourselves. And I don't know who it was for speaking who just spoke about the special needs kids, but I commend you for that. You know, I know that's not easy, and I have special needs family members and relatives, and just because, you know, maybe God didn't bless them in certain areas, He blessed them in other areas more than other people. And we're talking about, you know, different passions and different talents and different things like that. You know, God doesn't make mistakes, and you know, I can say from, you know, experience and just with my relatives that, you know, those kids, they have the biggest hearts, and they love, you know, more than some other people, you know, and so I think it's just a beautiful thing to be able to acknowledge that, and yeah, just kind of spread more positivity. So that's what I got.
There you go. That's a great thing. You know, this morning, some of you know me personally because we've not been around each other. So, I had a stroke 3 years ago, and I'm pretty good. I can handle myself. I get around pretty good. They're not going to invite me on the baseball field. I'm never going to be an outfielder. I'm never going to get shortstop. I can watch. I can be a fan. But, you know, I love baseball. I love sports. And, you know, each day I look at it, for me, each day it's like I got to get up to a level so that I can achieve the things that are called on me and as identified of things that I've got to do because I'm responsible to some causes that I'm committed to. And I'll tell you, I'm going to share this. This morning, I had a really, really bad morning. Some days, I actually I go for therapy in a pool to help regain my strength and restore my body. I mean, I have to do that. And I had a real bad. It wasn't good. And I knew I made a commitment to be able to do this show. And I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm going to ask, what I'm going to share with you is this. Someone made a phone call to me and just said hi and started sharing some things with me. And you know what? In about 15 minutes, 5 minutes of that call, my heart was totally turned around to realize I started looking at all the things that people who I are in contact and I know who were relying on me because I could have had my thumb in my mouth and said, oh, woe is me. I didn't just want a good day. I didn't get this. I didn't have that. This person didn't do that. That didn't happen. And instead, I got thinking, you know what? At noon today, I've got a group of people that are going to be calling into the Optimize Your Life show. I got to show them there's a reason for doing it and demonstrate it. And I've got to communicate to them that we can, in spite of all the stuff that we each of us run into and all the disappointments that we have, that we still can be a light in this world. We're supposed to shine. That's scripture. Let your light so shine for men. Go out and glorify God who's in heaven. Well, I live by that. And it helps me overcome. It could have been the person that I was this morning that was so disappointing with. That person had a job to do. And that person took his job to the line of, there was a line of demarcation. And it would have, for him to walk across it would have been the word help. And he chose not to do it. I could have been angry. I could have, you know, all that stuff. I didn't. I just found somebody else to help me, and I resolved the issue. And then when I got home, I'm not going to tell you guys, I was fuming. I thought I was at a healthcare center. In fact, that's called Mercy. Mind you, it's called Mercy. What do you expect when you go to a place called Mercy? You expect it. Well, this gentleman, he's doing his job. He's got his job and an outline. For him to step across the line to offer a hand or resolve somebody's problem, no, that wasn't in his job description, therefore he didn't do it. We have too many people in this world that's how they live and operate. And what's sad is I looked at him as I was leaving the door, I said, I pray to God that you never are in the condition or situation that I just had to deal with. Then you'll know what you did in letting me down as someone that I thought your title says that you're a servant. You're a guard to help. The only thing you asked me was to put a mask on. I was in dire help, and you didn't care about me. You just wanted to have a mask over my face. See, sometimes people in so much of a hurry to do what they're supposed to do, that isn't what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to care for each other. And that is different. And I'd like to think what we do, we like to say on Mondays or Tuesdays, Wednesday, whatever day of the week you come on the show, we serve up hope for lunch. Hope is all about giving people something to rely on, that something can be different in their life. And you know, guys, when you go out, leave this show, and you go out into all the things you're going to be doing, my prayer is that that's what you do. And when you do, we're an army. We're a force. Anybody that's ever been in the service, Mary, I know you know this. They make, when you're going across the bridge, they have you break cadence. The reason they do that, in the old World War II movies, it always shows up there, but they'll have the troops, before they go over a bridge, break cadence. That means stop marching in unison at the same point, same time, because the compounding of the energy of the boots on the ground will shake and tear down a structure. It's happened. So when we together as the whole army go out and we do something today that touches someone's life, we're multiplying the efforts. The helping someone help somebody else theme multiplies the impact of making a difference. What we had the last 2 years is the government telling everybody, lock down, don't do this, don't. Can't. Stop. Put a bag over your head, don't talk to anybody, don't get near anybody. That was the worst thing that we could ever allow to happen in our country. I'm not talking about being unsafe. I'm not talking about ignoring real sickness. You know, I always equate it this way. How many people on this call remember that there was a guy named Jesus Christ, and he walked on this land 2,000 years ago, and when he was done with his mission on the life, he was teaching others. And he had these guys that got together, 12 of them, and he said, go out into the world and teach the message, gospel. Now, he didn't give them instructions. Now, look, I don't want you to get together with anybody who's sick, don't go near them. Anybody who knows somebody who knows somebody who is sick, don't go by them. Don't go out into the community. Don't go out beyond you any place you can see. Stay inside your house. Take care of yourself. Don't talk to anybody. Don't do anything with anybody. That's the opposite of what he taught us to do. And I'm telling you guys, gals, what we need to do is become that messenger. And we need to do it with a stiff back and a great heart. And as we do that, boy, can we make a difference. Can we turn the corner on what we've been through? It's not been nice. I know personally, I have family members. I have lost people, friends and family, that have died from COVID. So I don't have my head in the sand. But I know this one thing. We, as people and believers who know, we have to stand up. We have to step out. We've got to be that assured person that we're protected. And if we're not, you know what happens if we leave this world? We're going to have it better. So it's not so bad. I don't want to die. I assure you I don't die. Because you know what? If he takes me home, I'm going to be a better place. But right now, I'm supposed to help make it a better place here for somebody else. So I'm done preaching
today.
Ron, this country.
Hi, country boy.
How you guys doing?
Welcome,
today?
Country boy from Atlanta, Georgia, folks. Everybody else on the show and the guests, say hello. Go ahead, country boy.
As soon as you opened your mouth and said, let your little light shine, my grandmama stood up in heaven and said, go, Ron Clayton. What happens when somebody does that, when people do that, when we do that, when you let your little light shine, it unconsciously, did y'all hear that word? Unconsciously allows other people to let their little light shine. Example, smile. Yeah. And the world will smile back at you. Misery. Yeah. Misery loves company. So does love. Whatever you put out there, they said, whatever you put out there comes right back at you. Well, you've been hearing me say for months, and if you haven't been listening, do you hear the words that are coming out my mouth when I say unconsciously, consciously, intentionally, do unto others before they do unto you, because when you say, have a nice day, I hope you're well, I hope you get better, I hope you and family are going to go on a vacation, I hope, Lord have mercy, I see the doors of hope opening up as I open up my mouth and allows other people to be hopeful too. That's why when I keep saying one nation under love, Yeah, God says, I am love, and we're a personal representative of the one that calls himself love. So love loves company. Yeah, just like misery loves company. That's why we get together every day at noon. Matter of fact, I don't even eat lunch. I serve up lunch for hope. I serve up hope for lunch. Why? Hoping that somebody else will be inspired, because when they're inspired, I'm inspired. That's what makes the world go round, you guys. And as Ron was explaining to you earlier about, excuse my friends, the moves of that corporate devil kind of one who wants to isolate you and put you by yourself and not let you hug on nobody and pat nobody on the back and say, that a boy, keep your distance, stay back off of me. You're not supposed to get close to nobody that might want to hug you. Well, you better not come around me. And I ain't had no shot. I've been shot up with the venom of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't want to be enlightened, empowered, encouraged, and be given hope to, then you probably want to stay away from Country Boy. But I am so hopeful and so glad and so appreciative because Joel Griffin helped us create that atmosphere, the cycle of appreciation, you know, the synergy that what goes around comes right back around. That's why the structure that Joel set up, Ron has strategically chose certain days of the week to where we focus on one thing, but we talk about everything, everything that's godly, because when he said it was good, saw it was good, and it was good. So if it's good, we'll talk about it. If it ain't good, we're going to throw it back to where it come from. Yeah. So look, you guys, as we move forth in these days, we've got an opportunity to still be safe and proceed with caution. We're not born with a spirit of fear, but when I go into Wally World, Walmart, we call Wally Mom, I put my mask on. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of people in there in the miles and them crevices and stuff that just pop out from nowhere with no mask on. I don't know them like that. But I hugged about six strangers yesterday. Why? Because their energy was good. And by the way, I walk around with a Holy Ghost bubble on me. No weapon. Yeah, no weapon formed against Country Boy can do me no harm. And everything has a time and a season. Why are we still here, Ron Clayton? Because God knows many are called. Yeah, many are called. And few are chosen. We are the chosen ones for this time called now. There's nothing that we can do about our past. There's nothing that we can do about our future. Only thing we have right now, and we're trusting God for our tomorrow, because it's no mystery to him what's going to happen tomorrow. So, Ron, while we're in this today, we're going to practice it, y'all. Keep it in mind. Practice doesn't mean you get perfect. Practice means you want to get better and better and better at whatever it is that you do. What is it that you do? You do unto others before. Before? You mean before they do unto you? You mean if you smile and wave and grin and say, hope you have a nice day, you mean that somebody else might walk up to you and say, I hope you have a nice day too. I hope you live a long, prosperous. God says before there was a night or a day, before there was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, before there was a tick or a talk, I had plans to prosper you. And if God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Back over you, Ron Clayton.
Well, Ron, thank you so much.
Can I chime in? It's Kim.
Hi, how you doing? Certainly. Say hello.
Hi. Yeah, well, I said hello earlier, but I know I just wanted to chime in and say, you know, that was actually really timely what Country Boy just said, because before Country Boy spoke, I was going to come in and say, you know, the Bible tells us in Galatians 6:7, verses 7-8, that be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I think as people come to the understanding, even as we look at our gifts and our talents and our abilities, that whatsoever we sow, we shall also reap. If we sow love, if we sow goodness, if we sow help, if we sow hope, we shall reap that. You know, even if you look at it agriculturally, there's a time of sowing and reaping and a time of harvest. And so I just wanted to add that part. And also with just with this call being so timely about, you know, just gifts and knowing what our gifts are. And just with me personally, I've never been able to identify my gift, only because there may be some of us who may agree that ever since a child I've been taught that whatever I do, to do it unto the Lord, to do it with a spirit of excellence. And so there's been a lot of things over my life that I've been good at that, you know, someone might think is a gift. But when we looked at a gift, it gives you. And the Bible tells us that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And one scripture that I use to try to help me and hopefully one day identify my gift is Matthew 25, chapter 25, and I believe it's verses 35 through 40. But it says, when I was hungry, and did you give me food to eat? When I was thirsty, did you give me drink? When I was a stranger, did you welcome me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was sick, did you visit me? And when I was in prison, have you come to me? Now, my 9-to-5 is around the work of health equity, social justice, eliminating race-based biases, disparities, and just really being out in the community. So I would say if I had to identify a gift, it would be a gift for the community. And as Country Boy just says, you know, do unto others before they do unto you. So I just want to thank you, Country Boy, for that. In addition to what I was already going to say, because if I know I'm feeding the hungry, I know that when it's time for me to be hungry, I won't be hungry because that's going to come back to me, you know. And so I just wanted to encourage everyone with that in some way and just, you know, chime in on the call with what was just laying on my heart.
Thank you, Kimberly. That's wonderful.
Awesome.
You know, I want to say so. I want to add something to that. You know that I have several businesses and we have things in different going on in different countries as well as around the United States. I know people who know me, I always say the reason that they even hang around with me is they know they'll never starve because I travel on my stomach. And when I travel, whatever I do, I go places. I always go and I'm bringing something with me. I am there to serve if that's something that I can do and I want to do. And I find a way. If somebody comes to our house or we go to somebody's house, I'm not going empty-handed, and I'm not looking to come home with anything. I'm going to give. I'm going to serve. That's what the servant leader does. Our whole principle, our management methodology is all about a servant leader. And if you do that, the one thing that I do know beyond any shadow of doubt, I don't care what field of endeavor you're involved in, if you are a person who serves, and that's your heart, you have a gratitude, you have what's called a cycle of appreciation in your heart, you are going to receive more than you ever gave away. And what's even more important, that you're going to bless people, and it will be appreciated. Not everybody, you know. I remember my dad years ago, my stepfather, had retired. He was an officer of a company, and they had a big party for him, and he was my stepdad, and I was living 100 miles away, and they invited us to go to this big party. And I had been out of work, was in between jobs. I was still working, but I didn't have a job. And what were we going to do? Well, I had been given a gift of a really neat, a print, a limited edition print from a world-renowned artist. So I took it to a friend of mine in the art gallery, and he put it under special glass and in a big frame. Quite frankly, I couldn't afford it. He only charged me a few bucks for it. But I gave that gift because I wanted to honor my stepfather. Well, he didn't take it. He called a week later and said, you can come pick up the picture. I don't really need it. I broke my heart. I felt terrible, folks. I thought it was the worst thing. I thought, how can he be that mean? How can he be that cruel? Then I realized, number one, my job was not to give something that I was going to get kind of heralded for or recognized for. My job was to give the gift. I did that. And how the blessing came around, yeah, he didn't later on he came to say, I just didn't think it fit in my living room, and I didn't. I knew it was valuable, and I didn't want to take it. I wasn't giving it back to you because I hurt you, and I'm sorry I did. Well, we have that painting today. It's sitting in my living room right behind me. That painting is worth a lot of money, and my wife loves it, and every time we move, it's one of the first things that goes up on the wall. And I mean, I'm so thankful I still have it time. And the name of it's Setting Out. I gave it to him when he was retiring. I thought it was fitting. But the moral of the story is my job was to give the gift to see what I was going to get in terms of a pat on the back or, oh, thank you so much or gratefulness. That wasn't the reason. The purpose of the gift was me to give it. And so what we have to learn to do in life is to be a giver. And it isn't easy for human beings to be givers. So that's the message today. If you're joining, we had a lot of new people on the show, and some spoke and some haven't. I want you to know you don't have to speak. If you do, we appreciate you sharing. If you feel you appreciate today, I hope you didn't. I hope you saw a message of love and of caring, and we hope that you are blessed for being here. And the whole idea is that we can spread it. We can tell you
Ron,
about it. Yes, sir.
Before we close out, I need your permission to share a secret with everybody.
You have my permission.
Okay. I'm going to share a secret with everybody. If everybody will promise to tell everybody that they know. let me unsolve a riddle for a lot of people, because I read that little book quite often myself, and I've heard it all my life, and they've kind of just weakened it down and watered it down and made it like a cliche. Even them Christian people, they say it all the time. Oh, it's a blessing to be a blessing. Wow. Wouldn't everybody love to be in a position to bless somebody? Well, let me let you in on this little secret. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Shakespeare put it in a riddle, in a sonnet, and gave it to Hamlet. And he did it on the international stage. To be or not to be? That's a big question mark. Are you to be a blessing? Or are you not to be? You got to be one or the other. You choose this day. Who you with? Are you with Bill or are you with them? Are you going to be a blessing to somebody or not? But let me tell you, if you get really Christianized and start to read deeper in that book, it says something crazy off the heezy like, you shall be blessed in your going and you're coming. It didn't say where you were going or where you were coming. My grandmama used to say, I'm going over yonder. I say, where's yonder? She say, I'll know when I get there. So if you're going to be a blessing and you're going and you're coming, what they forgot to tell you, oh, they forgot to send the interpreter. Interpret it for them, country boy. You are the blessing. If you've been walking around waiting for somebody to come up and give you something, you should be blessing your goal. You are the blessing. So when I walk around in the middle of the afternoon, I don't sleep very much no more. I don't even dream. I turn into a dreamer, into a visionary. I walk around in the middle of the afternoon with my eyes wide open with great anticipation on who I'm going to bless next. Yeah, I got my spiritual scanner on. How can I encourage somebody? How can I bless somebody? The more you give, here comes Burr Walk out of nowhere. My life-giving goal is to bless somebody. If I was to die today, they would say, what did Country Boy do? He blessed a lot of people. And what happens in the process? If it's a blessing to be a blessing, and Ron Clayton is just kind of educating me, he's talking generational blessings in my ear now. You mean that what I do is bigger than me? It's bigger than you? It's not just about you. It's about your children and the great, great. Yeah, now you're catching on. So here comes one more time, and I'm going to hush, Ron, since we've run out of time. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Are you to be or are you not to be? But the blessing is you. You are one of a kind, unique,
original, and ain't nobody can do what you do like you do when you do what you do. And if you call your personal representative of the person that designed you and made you and you're an image of God, get up and go do something and bless somebody.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that blessing and that well, at the end of a service, the pastor always does, there's a name for it, the benediction. Country boy, you just gave us the benediction of the day. Thank you so much. Everybody that's called in today, we thank you for your presence. We hope that you are blessed. And we look forward, tomorrow will be Travel Tuesday, featuring Rick Reese, the master of travel, the master of dreaming, and the master leader of Marketplace Ministries. I'll be hosting that show. And then we have more shows all week. At the end of the week, you can meet Len Kane, the original Top Gun. So come in on Thursday. You hear the guy who is the head of families and the work that we do for the whole collection. So thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you all.
Y'all come back to see us now. You hear?
Thank you.